Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today, I have the pleasure of once again having Alana Mbanza back on the show. Alana is a freelance writer who has dreamed of sharing the transformative power of words since childhood. She believes that all experiences, even failures, are meant to help us understand and apply spiritual principles. Even more than a writer, Alana strives to be an active agent of creation, choosing to see and create a life through the lens of love. She recognizes and illuminates our human responsibility to be authentic and express our inner truth. Alana has had her work featured on several different personal development websites, including Tiny Buddha, Mind Body Green, The Change Blog, Pick the Brain, and Think Simple Now. Her recently released book, titled Love Sick, Learning to Love and Let Go, takes readers on the most liberating and terrifying journey imaginable, the quest to open their scarred hearts and discover authentic love. Today, Alana and I are going to be chatting about some of the common thought patterns that keep people from healing after the end of a relationship and how to shift these to find meaning in the midst of heartbreak. So let me go ahead and welcome Alana to the show. Hi, Alana. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back on.
Yeah, I loved when we did the interview before. I think it was about, maybe a year and a half ago. It was certainly when I was just beginning. You were one of my first guests, so I appreciated you being a nice guinea pig for me, and it's wonderful to have you back.
Yeah, it was my first radio interview, so yeah. I really enjoyed it.
I do remember that. You did a great job. So now you've written a book, as I mentioned in the intro. The book is called Love Sick, Learning to Love and Let Go. And just tell listeners, what was your inspiration for writing the book?
So the inspiration behind all of my writings really is relationship. You know, I'm always interested in the hows and the whys of how we relate to each other as human beings. Mm-hmm. For Love Sick particularly, I was exploring romantic relationships. The book spans a period of 10 years, and within that time frame, I had experienced really a lot of heartbreak, and so I was trying to process, you know, all the emotions and feelings that go along with that, and just really trying to make sense of what happens when a relationship ends. So yes. The inspiration was heartbreak, but not really in a mourning sort of way, but more of an exploratory healing kind of way.
Mm-hmm. I like that way of approaching it, because it does, I mean, I'm sure everybody listening has had a heartbreak at one point or another in their lives, yeah. And some have had more than others. It sounds like you've had your fair share, and I think if you can take that feeling and learn from it, it sounds like you were inspired by it. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and you chose poetry as a way to express these ideas. You know, why did you choose that kind of a format?
Well, I don't know if I chose poetry. Poetry kind of chose me. I actually have a background in psychology and research, so I'm used to more structured writing. I didn't sit down and decide, hey, I want to write a poetry book. But when I was experiencing my heartbreak, the pain was so visceral and so raw. It created this tension in my body. And the only way that I could really relieve that was to write it. But I found it didn't really lend itself to, you know, the traditional blog posts or the articles that I was used to writing. And so what I would do is I would sit down and I would just kind of write these short little paragraphs. I wouldn't pay attention to punctuation or sentence structure and all of those things. I would just write and let it pour out. And the first few times I did this, I kind of struggled because I'm a Virgo and a perfectionist. And I wanted to put periods and exclamation marks and all of that sort of thing. But I realized after I expressed what I needed to express, I felt better, and so it was really cathartic for me. And afterwards, you know, even after I was done writing the pieces, I didn't call them poetry. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of a way to express myself.
So it's just these emotions took on more of a free writing form, and I loved what you said, that you had to sort of give up your traditional way of writing, of paying attention to punctuation and periods, and just really let it flow out.
absolutely. Yeah. It just had to come out, you know. It had to be expressed. So.
Yeah, and it is that free writing is a good way of expressing that, because like you said, you're not really so much in your head. It's more of an emotional release, and as you said, you felt better after writing it, so it clearly was a cathartic experience for you.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And then so in January of this year, actually, so 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I was going through everything I've written, because I've been writing forever, and I kind of keep everything on my computer, and I was going through everything because I was actually trying to write another book, a book of fiction, and I realized that I had all of these short little poems, and so I was like, well, what would happen if I put them together? Mm-hmm. And so I isolated them in a Google Doc, and I was like, wow, I have more than I thought I did, and I noticed that they started to have similar themes. So intimacy, vulnerability, heartache, all of those themes were coming up, so I organized them according to those themes. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is a book.
That's amazing.
So I sent it to, sent it to an editor, Naima Lightseed, and she was so supportive. Because I was like, you know, I'm not a poet, but see what you can do with this. She sent it back, and I actually cried because that was the moment I realized I had written a book of poetry.
Wow.
So it was kind of an amazing experience.
Yeah, so all around, I mean, just sounds like the process of expressing, as we were saying, was very cathartic, but then this almost sounds like maybe a dream of yours realized that you didn't even know you had was to publish
Absolutely.
A book on poetry.
Absolutely. And it's actually kind of interesting because a couple of years ago, 3 years, I believe, I wrote a post on Tiny Buddha about heartbreak. And, you know, even today people still contact me, women, you know, specifically contact me and say, oh, your words spoke my truth. And kind of when I was going through this process, there were moments where I was like, you know, what are you doing? Why are you writing a book of poetry? Like, this is dumb. But then, I started getting these messages from women saying, your words basically brought me a level of healing. And so that kind of kept me going in the project.
That's wonderful. I mean, it's so great when one can do something like that that you know is really impacting and helping other people. It feels really good. And so I'm imagining in this conversations and the feedback that you're getting, you were noticing some kind of common thought patterns that you know, women or people in general hold on to keep them from healing after the end of a relationship. So what are some of those common thought patterns?
There were many, many. A couple were, I don't want anybody else but him or her or we're meant to be. And that was very common. So essentially we convince ourselves that, you know, this one person is the only person that'll make us happy. We put them up on this pedestal and we kind of idolize the relationship. And it's very dangerous because this prevents us from taking an honest and balanced view of the relationship. We kind of forget all the negative things that happen or the things that, you know, or the times we didn't get what we needed and kind of focused on the positive. And so that's a common thing. And actually, you know, when I was younger, I used to believe in the one, you know, in quotation marks, believe that the one was out there and, you know, it was my life's mission to find him. But after, and I found him several times, and it didn't work out. And so I kind of had to reevaluate, you know, my concept of the one. And, you know, what I came up with is maybe there are several ones, you know, maybe the person that you're with or that you just ended a relationship was supposed to teach you something about yourself or, you know, move you forward or help you grow and heal. And I feel like that is a lot healthier than, you know, there's only one out there in the world for me, and if I lose him, you know, my life is over. That's, you know, that's not a healthy belief.
No, not at all. And I like what you were just saying, that maybe there is more than one, and then you went on to say, and it's true that people at different points in their lives need different things, and maybe that person was the one to teach you the lesson you needed to learn, or the one that needed to show you something within yourself that was beautiful, but not the one person that's supposed to complete your life.
Absolutely. And over the past year, I've kind of been learning a lesson about release and just kind of letting go of control and even experiences that aren't getting me closer to my goals. And that has particularly showed up in relationships where, you know, I really think this guy is going to be good for me, but if it doesn't work out, I try to make space for someone who will be able and willing to give me what I need instead of holding on to a person long after they've taught me what they're supposed to, or, you know, whatever the lesson I was supposed to learn from that experience.
Yeah, to release it, because it's, you know, there's the statement or the, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, and if you're holding on to that person still, even after they've left your life, there's no space really for energetically for anybody else to come in.
Right, right.
So as you're saying, that release. So it's hard to release, though. So do you have you know, suggestions of how somebody can let go and then release that?
Well, so one of the things that I started doing this year, I created a vision board for the new year, and some of the guiding questions that I have are, you know, is this thought, action, or belief getting me closer to my goal?
Yeah.
And I've kind of decided, you know, in the area of relationships, I'm looking for a committed relationship. You know, I'm looking for emotional intimacy, all of those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm, you know, involved with a guy who is not interested in those things, or, you know, who would move me further away from that, I really evaluate whether that's an experience I want to keep around.
Mm-hmm.
And it is difficult. You know, I just had to release a relationship a couple months ago, and, you know, it was hard. But in the end, I knew that the pain of keeping that around was just not going to be worth it. So.
Mm-hmm. Because you were really focused on, you knew what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted a committed relationship. You wanted a certain type of a person, a certain type of a partner. And when you realize that this current relationship wasn't moving you in that direction, then it sounds like
right.
you had the strength to let it go, because you were very focused on your goal and what you were
right.
looking for. Yeah, that's right. that's a good way of looking at it. And I think something you had said a few minutes ago, what we do tend to do, what people tend to do, is to forget that negative that did happen in the relationship. So
mm-hmm.
if the person does end up leaving, then suddenly it's almost like this overwhelming feeling of like everything was perfect and you've completely forgotten you know, the times you
yes.
forgot to call or whatever.
Right,
so really
right.
trying to stay realistic, I think, too.
Yeah, and I definitely went through some moments where I had temporary amnesia, like, oh, but it was so great. And then I reached out and it's like, oh, yeah, this is why I stopped talking to you.
And dip your toe back in just to see, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So how can somebody that's in the middle of a heartbreak, and, you know, how can they really focus in and find some kind of meaning in the midst of what seems to be overwhelming pain?
Well, I'd say first create a space to express the pain. I did it through writing, but there are so many different ways to create that space. Talking to friends or family, you know, if you're an artist, painting, singing, screaming if you need to.
Uh-huh.
It's all about allowing yourself to express and release whatever it is that wants to come up.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's shame, guilt, anger, or sorrow, you got to let these things come out. Because if you don't, it'll only prolong the pain, and it's not healthy emotionally, or even, you know, it can lead to physical problems as well.
Yeah.
So it's got to come out.
Yeah, and that's, I love what you were saying about expressing the pain, feeling the shame, really being there, present those emotions. I think the tendency is to want to push things away and think, well, I don't want to experience that, I don't want to feel that, and, oh, I'm just happy, but it just stays in you, as you were saying.
Absolutely. And, you know, it creates this kind of cycle where not only are you feeling bad about the end of the relationship, but you make yourself feel bad about feeling bad. And so it's just layer upon layer of negative emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get trapped in that. And there's nowhere to go. There's no relief. There's no healing. There's no growth. You're just stuck in that negative. So you've got to let it come out.
Yeah. And that's hard, though. It's scary. It's kind of can be somewhat of a scary process to feel those really deep emotions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, on a level, one has to trust that they're going to come out the other side and be okay. You know, as no one has actually died from heartbreak.
Right.
You know, it feels that way. And so what are some, you know, words or that you could give listeners or somebody that's currently experiencing heartbreak? What's some things you could tell them?
I would say understand that this is a process. You know, sometimes we create in our minds this timeline of when we should be over someone or how long we should grieve the end of a relationship. But, you know, it's not really realistic to expect that you'll get over someone overnight. You know, there will be days when you'll feel strong and you'll feel good and you'll be okay. And other days you may feel like the pain is unbearable. I've definitely been in that space where, like, it felt hard to breathe. My heart literally felt like it was breaking.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next day, you know, you could get up and you could function. And so all of this is a natural part of the grieving process, and you've really got to let it happen. You can't rush, you know, the process. You have to be gentle mm-hmm. and patient with yourself. Treat yourself as you would, you know, a friend who's going through a heartbreak. You wouldn't mm-hmm. chastise them for mm-hmm. being, you know, still having negative feelings about a relationship. You wouldn't tell them to stop crying. So don't do those things to yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just really important to love yourself to these moments. This is when you'll need it the most. And yeah.
And you use the word grieving process, and I don't think mm-hmm. we've touched on that. It is almost, it's a death of a vision that you've
right.
perhaps had with this person. So grieving is actually a good word for that, a good way
yeah,
to look at it.
You know, it's the death of a worldview. It's the death of, you know, the hope you had for the relationship.
Right.
It's the death of your identity as, you know, part of this particular couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do have to treat it like a loss and really, you know, go through the process with that in mind, that you are grieving, you need to heal, you need time to express all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then again, really pay attention to what's going on in your mind and the types of things that you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting back to those that it's, you know, it's meant to be. This was only a person on the planet for me, and just
right.
identifying that those are the things you're thinking, and then I suppose asking yourself, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is
mm-hmm.
it true that this is the only person? Is it true that we were meant to be? And just really in the midst of your grieving, sounds like to be a little bit realistic too with your mind.
Right. The last thing that I would also say is try to find the lesson in the heartbreak, because I've kind of come to realize or to understand that every experience, even if we perceive it as negative, is about learning something
mm-hmm.
About yourself. And so, like I mentioned, the guiding questions that I have, one of them is this experience getting me closer? And the other one is, what am I supposed to learn from this experience? And specifically with relationships,
mm-hmm.
I ask myself, what am I supposed to learn about myself through this relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And these questions keep the focus internally, the focus on the self, which really is the only thing that you can control. They also highlight the growth and evolution that has occurred in the course of the relationship. So it kind of gives meaning to the painful experience. If you think, well, you know, this relationship taught me that I need someone who mm-hmm. communicates well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. Even if that particular relationship didn't last, you know going into your next relationship that that's something that you have to have. And so try to find the lesson in anything, in any experience, try to find the lesson. It just makes life so much more meaningful.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I'm really glad you brought that up, that is anything, even positive, negative, whatever, there is a lesson in there. There's something to learn
mm-hmm.
about yourself and focusing on yourself, I think, what you're saying too, is really important instead of projecting out onto the other person, because you can't change the other person. You cannot
right.
force them into any kind of a behavior, maybe manipulate
Unless
them.
If you want to.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might want to try, but you really can't. And so the only
right.
thing you can do is focus back in on yourself, because that is the only thing that a person can control. And then, yeah, look for those lessons. Look for what's going on
mm-hmm.
that you can learn. And it could be just like what you were saying, that you may learn about yourself that you need somebody that communicates well, or, you know, you need somebody that's on time, or you need somebody that sticks to their commitments. And so whereas the experience of learning that may have felt negative,
mm-hmm. right.
something you learned was positive, and then you take that with you and then, you know, put that on the list for the next relationship and
absolutely
kind of keep growing and learning from there. So, yeah, this is some really great information. I haven't ever had anybody talk specifically about heartache, and now that we're doing it, I'm realizing that it's a very important topic, because
yeah,
as you're saying, it really hits everybody. So, you know, thank you so much for reaching out to me so we could talk about this today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Sure. And I want to tell listeners how, you know, again, the book is called Love Sick, Learning to Love and Let Go. So what's the easiest way for people to get this book so they can read what you have to say?
So I actually published it last week on Amazon.
Yay.
So it's available. Yay! So it's available on Amazon. I'm working on a Kindle version.
Okay.
So that should come out within the next week or so. But definitely they can check it out on Amazon.
Okay, that's awesome. And listeners, you know on my blog I'll have a link to that. But again, it's on Amazon.com. The book is Love Sick, Learning to Love and Let Go. And Alana, again, thank you for being on the show. This covered a great topic today. And listeners, just be sure to tune in next week.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.